Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Rogue Angel 64, Cleopatra's Tomb, by Alex Archer. Narrated by Nanette Savard and a full cast. Prologue. Rome. March 15th, 44 BCE. The most powerful woman in the world had blood and gore under her fingernails. Cleopatra balled her hands into fists to keep the violent tremors and nausea at bay.
They killed him.
The man she loved, the father of her child, the most powerful man in the world, lay on the floor of the Senate. His snowy white toga slowly turned crimson as it soaked up his blood. Julius Caesar, Pontifex Maximus, ruler of the Roman Empire, knew that death was coming for him on the Ides of March. He was butchered by his own senators, stabbed 23 times by animals masquerading as his friends. Servants made the grisly discovery, and Cleopatra had only seconds to hold his body in her arms before a mother's instinct sank its teeth into her bones. She rose to her feet.
Stop crying. Come.
She was now without the protection of Caesar, but Cleopatra was not without influence. Egypt was a valued protectorate of Rome, which needed the grain of the fertile Nile Valley to feed its citizens. Cleopatra still ruled Egypt with her younger brother, Ptolemy XIV, but a long history of power struggles and family rivalries going back centuries to the death of Alexander the Great had left the country in a state of perpetual instability. She assumed that the ambitious criminals who had killed Caesar would never risk the political bloodbath that would ensue if she was harmed. But how could she trust them? Caesar had, and Caesar now lay in a pool of his own blood. Better to return to the land of her birth and plan her next steps. As the servants prepared to leave, Cleopatra lifted her infant son from his bed and breathed in the honey scent of his soft mahogany curls.
Your father is dead, my love.
The baby's name was Ptolemy Caesar, but was called Caesarion in honor of his father. The day before, she and Caesar had cheered on a chariot race, had a picnic by the sea, and they made love under the stars. She had no idea it would be their last time.
Isis, as you resurrected your husband, Osiris, bring Julius back to me, and I shall serve you for all eternity in the afterlife. Isis, mother of Horus, protect my son if I cannot.
Cleopatra felt numb all over, and her knees weakened.
Stop it. There's no time to fall apart.
Two of her loyal retainers, both heavily armed, appeared in the doorway.
Divine One, the boat awaits you.
We will be ready soon.
Cleopatra and her retinue made their way down to the Tiber River. In the past, Julius Caesar made Cleopatra the focus of lavish processions through the streets of Rome. Now, as word spread of the emperor's death, the citizens barely noticed the passing of the Queen of Egypt. She sailed down the Tiber to the port city of Ostia and their waiting ship without a whisper of opposition. Caesar's killers, not to mention his wife, Calpurnia, were probably only too glad to be rid of her. Only when the ship was leagues away from Italy and propelled by a gentle wind across the Mediterranean Sea did she look back. She kissed her son's small forehead.
My little Caesar, no one will slay you. I will protect you with my last breath.
Looking forward again toward distant, unseen Alexandria, Cleopatra formulated a plan to secure her throne, the royal line of succession, and her empire above all. She didn't care who she had to kill or sleep with. She would claw her way from the ashes. The Ptolemaic kingdom must go on. Cleopatra VII, Thea Philopator, had no idea that despite...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?